Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and making his return to the show.
Bassick.
Not Giancarlo Bassick.
I've changed my name to Giancarlo Bassick. Your name's Mike. No, just kidding. His name's Giancarlo, I guess.
And the return after a one-day absence of Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. We're going to start with some football, or if you would call Mike Bassick Giancarlo Bassick, if he decided to change his name. Dak had a really interesting quote, and obviously, Corey, we talked about this yesterday. You brought it to my attention. I thought it was really interesting. He said, "We've got to take it one game at a time." Get that. Simple as that. Been here before in 2018, and we can get back to that in just a second. We know what it takes. You can get hot. You can get rolling. That's all we're looking to do. That's my point about this. It's frustrating, but no one is shook. Everything is still in our control. We've lost four, but we can get hot, and that's the plan. We just got to keep building. And from that perspective, he's right. If they went 13-4, I'm not saying that's going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but if they did, they would be just fine. Same with 12-5, same with 11-6.
One seed.
Yes.
One seed still available, and they would beat Washington twice and Philadelphia twice, which then would make it right. They would hold the tiebreakers even if they won out all their other games.
That is true, but my question then for y'all is, for how much longer? So I agree that it is still in their control.
Okay.
Even if you don't agree it's going to end up where you want it, it is still technically in their control. But Corey, since you brought this up, how much longer, or what changes that, I guess?
Yeah, we asked Boach that a couple of years ago on their run to the World Series. All the players kept saying, there's a lot of baseball left, right? And I was like, when, at what point is there not a lot of baseball left?
Yeah.
And I think Boach told us about the last month. That's when you're like, okay, we got to turn it up or turn it around. And interestingly enough, that year in the World Series, they did not. That last month, they actually got worse.
No,
they turned it around when the playoffs started. So Mike just looked at the schedule and we went through what we kind of think the Cowboys' approach is going to be here and where they might get their wins. I think because they have so many divisional games left, Dak feels that way
okay.
For sure. They're like, look, man, we go 6-1 5-1 in the division. We're sitting in a pretty good place. Now, that's going to be difficult. Washington's very good.
Yeah.
You've already beaten the Giants.
Washington is still not favored to win that division.
Really? Is it still the Eagles?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, too. They win
37-17 on the road in Cincinnati, right? I mean, that was.
Yeah, that's true.
I was surprised by
that. Jalen Hurts has been playing better. I'll concede that.
But I think if you look at like the schedule, because the way Jason Garrett preached to Dak Prescott, and the way that Mike McCarthy's gone about it is, we got to win our division. You win those games; those are important. If you do, where's your record? You got nine. You got eight wins if you win the division. And then Mike's predicting you win against the Falcons, and then maybe you pick up another win against the Bengals or the Panthers or something like that. It could put you at 10 wins, and that could be good enough in this division to win it. And then again, Jerry has said this over and over, and if you abide by it, I do. The reality is that the numbers are showing over history, the best teams are the best teams for a reason. But if you abide by just getting into the tournament gives you a shot at something, then that reality exists if the Cowboys can just creep in there somehow.
Now,
do I agree with it? No.
No.
But I'm trying to figure out where Dak's coming from. I would say, Kevin, that if you lose to the Texans after losing to the Falcons and Eagles, it's out of
your
control.
Done. You're okay. Done.
That's where I would put it.
Now, from the 6-8-2, if you lose to Atlanta, it's over. You have to go like 7-2 after that, and it's not happening. Now, believe it or not, that is not necessarily accurate. I'm going to take you to 2018. Dak made reference to 2018. So I decided I'm going to go down that path just a little bit more. The Cowboys were 3-5 that year. And then they rolled off a 7-1 record to end the season. All right.
Heck yeah.
So let's start.
Amari Cooper.
Exactly. But that's the difference right there. After they lost to fall to 3-4. So they lost to Washington. So to your point, divisional game. They lost to Washington, dropped them to 3-4, just like they are right now. Then they traded for Amari Cooper. So it's not difficult to see like one of the reasons they didn't just rise up and win 7 of 8 because they were like just overcame all the odds. I mean, they did to a certain extent, but Amari Cooper coming in really, really helped.
Yeah, they went on a significant tear, man.
And Jerry, I feel like, has made it very clear to us again and again and again that no such trade is in the cards. Now, that could just be part of his strategy and they play it close to the vest and everything like that. But assuming no trade is on the horizon that was as impactful as Amari Cooper, it is really hard, at least for me at this moment, to think that another run like that is in the cards. I hope I'm wrong and they do that, but don't forget, when Dak references 2018, they made a trade for Amari Cooper like right when they were at their lowest.
And Jerry Jones has told us.
Not going to happen.
If you He's told us. If you've seen the players do something once before, then you know they got it in them to do it again. They got it in them to do it again,
sack,
Kevin.
That means they could get 60 sacks in one game.
Or if
they just play to their full potential.
If they've won a bunch of games after a trade in 2018, they can do that again. Dak's seen it before. He knows what kind of run you can go on.
I hope that you're right.
And a lot of people, because right now you're impatient. What happened in the playoffs last year has carried over, and you're impatient with the team at 3-4. You were impatient with them at 3-4 in 2018.
Correct.
If the Joneses, because I don't think they're at that point. We talk about baseball a lot, and like, okay, when do you decide when this team doesn't have it, and what are your decisions from there? If the Cowboys were right now going, hey, look, we're going to have to deal with these young players growing, and this might put us in position to get a better draft pick this upcoming draft and still add to the youth of this program. And in a couple of years, we're planning to be better because in a couple of years, that's it. Would you be happier or more ticked off about this season? Would you be like, you know what? I have a direction. If I at least I know they're going to continue drafting, they're going to have better draft picks. But right now is not the time to discuss that because you're not out of it.
I think I would be happier and see, okay.
So that's why they keep this mindset of we still have a shot.
I want to go back.
Why quit and fold things up?
Okay, let's go back to that.
Okay.
Because that's what you have to do as a competitor, right? Like if you had players from this team come out and go, we're 3-4, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's probably not the person that you want on your team. But at the same point, don't you have to sit back in the front office and analyze everything else that's happened besides just the 3-4 record? The fact that, man, you got worked in those losses to San Francisco and Baltimore, and then you made a comeback because of, you can define that however you want. And that's probably the difference, right? Because if you define those comebacks against Baltimore and San Francisco as their defenses went easy and quit caring because the game was over, then you need to do something different. If you truly think the Cowboys made a heroic comeback and they got the ball with a chance to win the game, because that is what happened, then I can see how you would want to stay in it. Because you're like, man, we could have finished off those comebacks. Now we're 5-2. That didn't happen. That's not where you are. But I wonder if that's why they're like, we're still in it. Because if you're like, they let us back into those games, then you need to reevaluate your strategy.
All right, looking at this team right now, what one trade could they make that turns that around that much? See, I'm with Mike. Mike's shaking his head right now.
I don't.
They need a starting running back. They need a number two receiver. They maybe would need a veteran offensive lineman better than what they have. That's your offense of what you need right now. Three things to turn that offense around. And then some people would say that the play calling still wouldn't be good enough for that offense. So that's scary that you need three. Defense, you need a starting defensive tackle. You need a backup defensive tackle. You need probably a defensive end because I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back this year, to be honest. I know Micah Parsons is. You need another linebacker for sure because you lack depth there. You probably need a starting safety. Like that's, you need too many things for this season to be right.
So, Kevin, whenever I'm looking at how I lost those games. The reality is, what's going to be the difference that puts things back in my control? And it's too many things.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's just a, hey, if we get Cliff Lee, the whole team's going to get that shot in the arm. If we get Cole Hamels, we're going to be okay, and we're going to actually go on a better run than we expected to go on.
I'm not disputing that at all. I'm just trying to look at all aspects. And here's one of the issues that I have with, and look, I understand. I see people on the Twitch, on the YouTube, in the fan text, 877-881-1053, is like, dude, you know it. You know this season's over. Why not sell? I'm telling you what Jerry and Steven have said to us. And Jerry said, I think last week,
they could be 0-7 and he wouldn't sell players.
I think you're right about that, because Jerry didn't say when you're still in it, you don't start trading pieces off. He said, when you make that financial commitment to CD, when you make that financial commitment to Dak, you've decided you're going for it. That's not the time that you trade off pieces. And so it's not the record that he said. It was like, we paid these two people. We're not going anywhere. The reason why I think that is a...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Huge mistake is, I think you can take a step back for the rest of the year without destroying your future. Like, let's say DeMarcus Lawrence was going to come back. I know you might not get the best draft pick in the world for him, but if you moved off of players that are all out of contract this year anyway, and you take the salary cap hit right now that you were going to experience anyway, and picked up an extra fourth, a fifth, and a fifth, does that change the fortunes of your franchise? Probably not, but it gives you more ammunition for a team that, like, hangs their hat on, we draft great.
No, we threw out how many. I mean, you're not getting seconds and firsts and everything like that unless you're trading to Micah, which nobody. I do want to point out, I don't think anybody at this station has called for Micah to be. Have we discussed it? Yes, we have. But I don't think we said, hey, this has to happen, Jerry Jones.
Correct.
I just wanted to point that on this show. But yeah, all of them were lower tier, but you're hoping to have chips so that you can trade up, trade around, move around, get players that you really want in certain rounds. Let's say you pair a 2 with a 4 or a 2 with a 5, and you want to go up to the top of the second round, you can do that. So that's where I'm trying to figure out how to add to my team. But this team has so many things, and I agree with you. You make that initial, this is what I'm running with for the next 4 to 5 years, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. What else do I need to build around it? Do I have it? Can I get it? What's it going to take for me to get it? How long is it going to take for me to build the team around them? Because right now, what I'm looking at isn't good enough. So I agree with you that you can take a step back and still take steps forward next year.
Especially if we talk so much about, like, this team is badass at drafting. Look, I think they inflate some of those stats by giving second year contracts or second contracts to players who don't necessarily deserve it. But that is just my opinion. But if the Cowboys are so sure that they're so good at drafting, why would you not want that extra fourth, fifth?
I think this, my opinion, I'm not saying this is the station's opinion at all, because when I do this, I think people get mad up here. You have a person pretending to be a general manager his whole life. He's not. He's never been a general manager of football. He can't do it. He's not. God gave him gifts. Being a general manager of a football team is not even close to one of them. And then Will McClay, I think, is a general manager type guy.
Yeah.
But he knows his boundaries with the Jones family. So he can't general manage this team. He can only make suggestions, and he knows boundaries he's not going to step over. He will not step over a boundary and tell the Jones family, hey guys, this isn't the year. In fact, probably 2025 isn't going to be the year either. What we need to start doing is trading players that we don't think can really help us in 2026 through 2028. And we need to accumulate draft picks, because this is the way that you guys believe you can build a championship team. If that's the case, we need 12 draft picks a year, and we need them now. So that being the case, we need to step back for 2 years, try to get our finances right, and then have so many pick assets that we can really improve this team. He's a general manager. I think Will McClay has the ability to be a general manager. You have a dude pretending to do it for 30-something years now.
Kevin, Mike, that was great, great lines right there. I loved it all. The process of building a five-year plan, does it start with your foundation, Dak and CD, or is that an addition in the middle of the five-year plan? Because I'm not sure when their 3-5-year plan started, and if last year capped it and they said, okay, now we're starting over and we're revisiting a new 3-year, 5-year plan. Or if maybe Steven has one view of it, Jerry has a different view, and Will has another different view.
Yeah.
I don't know. They should all be on the same page, but I feel like you go, okay, I know I have this, and I know I'm going with this. I got to start adding other pieces, but it's going to take time.
Okay. I agree with that philosophy. Here's one of the issues that I run into. You can use this on whatever the hell player you want, and it doesn't only have to be Cowboys players. The Cowboys seem to get stuck sometimes in the, well, we paid at this level for this player, so that's what they need to be. Even when evidence in front of them is like, it's not the way it is, but that's what we paid for. Okay, then you made a bad deal.
He'll be different when he's a Cowboy.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. Now, you could think this is about Dak. You could think it's about Trayvon Diggs. You could think about whoever the hell you want. But I bet there's a lot of... I bet every team in the NFL has this like exact same issue with at least a few players. You think because you pay them at a certain level, that's where they're going to be. And when they're not at that certain level, your expectation is, well, they're get there because that's what I paid for. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Not at all.
And that might be a more fatal flaw for this organization than at least most. I'm not going to say all, but at least most of them.
I do. Broadus has said this, though. You do get frustrated, though, when you pay those players and they don't live up.
And I do get that. Frustrated,
or
yes.
They have that complications.
But like, are you going to will them to get back up to that level? No, you're not. It's not going to happen.
Just believe.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike will ask all the football questions, right?
Yeah. Are you sad? That's my first football question.
Whoa. Okay. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time for Mike to ask all of the football questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go.
Woo-hoo! By the
question
way.
Question number 62.
Hold on. No. If you weren't in Grand Prairie at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday, a spontaneous giant round of applause broke out for Mike Likes It. So much so that I thought all of you had like talked about this ahead of time. We've been informed that perhaps Grapevine doesn't draw very well. Grapevine, oh, Friday, Grapevine. Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's fill it up. And you guys can clap for whatever the hell you want.
I'll have you
take a load off. Grapevine, Buffalo Wild Wings at 12:45. Question 62, by the way, is if you're an inmate on death row, and I'll just leave it at that because it's not time for taking a load off. It's time for putting a load on.
What?
We're talking about football here.
Mm-hmm.
I teased by sad. This is the first question about being sad. Are you sad Dak is the quarterback for the next 4 years?
Yes.
Next question.
All right. No, I would like to expand.
Yeah, and if sad's the wrong word, you guys can go in different directions. If you're still enthused or excited about Dak leading the team for the next 4 years,
I'm interested to know yours because we might differ on why we are.
And I just want to make this very clear because I know the text, the Twitch, the YouTube's going to blow up with who are you going to get that's better?
Or, hey, like... Yes. The other way
sure.
is definitely available.
It's to me, the reason why I'm sad is because it's not about finding someone that's better. I think you have paid number one quarterback contract, and by the way, by $5 million per year for a quarterback that we all agree seems to be in that kind of like 7 to 12 range. Maybe you have a different opinion about that. And I know he finished second for MVP last year.
He's going to finish not close to that this year.
And I know people follow up. It's like, this is how it always works for quarterback contracts. Just wait a couple years. It'll be seventh. Fine. It'll be at his peak as a quarterback in a couple of years. And that's why I'm sad he's our quarterback at this price tag, because I think if you tore it down and got a rookie quarterback, you could at least take a different approach to this, because the approach you're using right now, it just flat out doesn't work.
Okay, so
and that's not all Dak's fault.
Yeah,
either.
That's just a quick Dak. I was just thinking about, you know, I just think that a lot of Cowboy fans, I know there's anger's probably the first word, but it just seems like I'm seeing a lot of Cowboy fans that are just sad because they feel like resigned to, yeah, they're going to change the coach most likely at the end of the year, but Dak's still the quarterback, and he's not bad, but you just know that he's probably not good enough to overcome his deficiencies and the team's deficiencies. Yes. Next question. You're going to have to look at standings here real quick. What team has five or more wins you think is a fraud?
Look,
Vikings.
Ooh, that's a good one. I feel like I've been pretty consistent about this. I'm still going to go with the Steelers.
Wow.
I know the Steelers are now 6-2.
They just beat the Giants.
Yeah, they beat the Giants.
The Cowboys, they almost beat them.
Neat. Yeah, the team that lost to the Cowboys and just beat up on the Giants, fantastic. I'm going to say the Steelers. I would understand if people voted for the Broncos, too.
Broncos are unique and interesting because they're like the teams they've beaten aren't that great, but nobody expected them to have five wins at this point.
That is very fair.
It's very strange. And their defense is still exceptional. I'm going to continue to roll with the Vikings because I never really believed in Sam Darnold. Right. But that team, I think, could fall apart. Plus, they're with the Lions. The Lions are just that much better than everybody right now.
Okay. Next question.
I do have a question to add to it, though. Okay.
I think the three likely candidates, we named the three likely candidates. I think it'd be interesting if somebody said, well, Washington, because of rookie quarterback, and like they would eventually fall off, but the division is so weak when you look at Dallas and New York that they might hang in there, and maybe Washington and Philadelphia both make the playoffs. Go ahead.
Oh, I have a question in Mike Asks All the Football All right. Questions. Do you think that the Ravens are going to regret the loss they had against
yes,
the Browns?
Yes, because I think it looked like they were getting back into the scenario where they could compete for a 1 or 2 seed.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying just that loss, but I bet when we get to week 16, 17, and 18, you're looking at that horrible loss going, oh, they could be a wild card team. They could end up being a 3 or 4 seed, and that wild card matchup isn't as beneficial as, let's say, being the 2 seed playing the 7 seed. Like, oh, you get to play the Chargers. I think the Chargers would be an easy playoff win. Like, if that was the team you were playing, or Denver, and you're like, oh gosh, we're playing them. What if your first matchup is, and maybe there's just four heavy teams here, and it's not. What if you are playing the Steelers in your matchup? It's like, yeah, that's your first round where you're like, hey, we should beat them, but this isn't an easy game, and this is our third time to play them. Okay. The other side is this. Which team has 4 or more losses you think is good and will turn their season around?
Cowboys.
That's not going to be my answer. I'm going to go with the team you just saw. I'm going to say the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Like we've talked about ad nauseum, how many injuries they have. And I think, first of all, the NFC West is very fascinating now, but I'm going to say the 49ers.
I'm with Kevin. That's the only one I have on the list that I think can really turn everything around that has that number of losses right now.
Can I throw out one that I'm not crazy about, but I'm wondering about?
The Colts?
The Rams.
Yeah,
that they got their wide receivers healthy. I don't know if they're going to stay healthy. I think Puka Nacua has a chance to stay healthy. He's very young. Does Cooper Kupp have a chance to stay healthy? I don't know. He seems to be kind of, after the Triple Crown year, he seems to be a guy that really struggles to stay on the field. But I don't know. I look at that division, and I look at the Rams, and they're a half game back of the three teams ahead of them.
You're a huge McVay guy. Like,
I love McVay. I think Stafford is a good, really good quarterback. And I just wonder, can they end up being 10-7 and make the playoffs?
Okay.
I think San Francisco is going to still win that division. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking of
the
Rams at 3-4. They're below 500. Could they still make a run and end up the rest of the way going 7-3?
Okay.
With health.
Yeah.
All right. My next football question, it does go to the Colts. And I think this is, let's dive into your thoughts here, because this is kind of a lot of questions in one deal. Would you look at Anthony Richardson and sit him the rest of the season to help his development? Do you think his development isn't going to happen and you would quit on him and draft it? You're already the general manager of the Colts, and you're like, we screwed up. He's only 22, though.
True.
So this is where I wouldn't want to quit on him, but would they look at him and go, this is probably not going to work out, and in the 2025 draft, we strongly need to look at quarterbacks?
Yes, I would look at him. No, I would not sit him. Yes, I would strongly consider the future of this team, though. And here's the reason. Ooh. Here's the reason that I'm not sitting him. I want him to get the playing experience. But now what I have to do is I have to really kind of dumb down everything for him. But I feel like the Colts are like, oh, man, we actually could win with Joe Flacco. We could be in the playoffs here. If you really want Anthony Richardson to grow and develop, you got to start in the stuff that what I'm understanding is in the at the workout facility. I mean, I was tired. The big knock on him coming out of college was that he wasn't the big work ethic guy and the consistency. So I do need to, I don't know exactly who the person is that's going to capture his ear and help him develop there, but I gotta make my defense to where he's not doing all these radical things because I know he can do the exceptional stuff, but I need to rely on Jonathan Taylor more and work my offense that way instead of just saying, hey, man, just go out there and fling it all around. But I also need to work on his work ethic, his quarterback ethic, and his leadership, and all those other things that it takes to lead a franchise.
The one thing I will say, and a lot of people might disagree with me on this, I'm not considering looking at another quarterback for next year.
Okay.
Whether that means you play him, you sit him, and give him more time to watch and develop, I'm not looking at another quarterback. I'm not prepared to go ahead and make that move just yet. That's actually, of all your questions, I think I feel the strongest about that. Now, you might look at that in a few years and be like, whoops, probably should have rethought that and gone Corey's direction. I'm not looking at another quarterback for next year.
Broadus has texted in on this, and he says the GM is on the hot seat right now. He can't sit him.
Because then he'll be out the door, right?
Because he's tied to him.
His job relies on that he picked the right quarterback that high in the draft.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think that's difficult. I just think of he's immature. We just saw how you just mentioned how immature he is. Like he's the quarterback, and he's like, yeah, I need a break like I'm the running back. No, you don't. You don't get a break as the quarterback. Buddy. You don't, as the center, if you pull or a guard and you pull on a play and it ends up being a 40-yard run, you don't raise your hand up with the running back and be like, give me a breather here. I just had to run with the running back 40 yards down the field.
I think it was Steichen who came out and goes, that is unacceptable.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is.
So I just think my opinion, this is always tough, right? Jobs are on the line. But my opinion, what would be best for Anthony Richardson is he doesn't play another snap this year. I don't think he's equipped yet at 22 years old, mature-wise, IQ-wise. I don't think he's ready to play at this level. And maybe he will end up being good. But I almost wonder if his confidence is just going to be completely ruined by the end of this season because he keeps having bad game after bad game, mistake after mistake. And maybe in a way like a Jordan Love, I know this is a bad example because he's great and they're different quarterbacks, but maybe not making mistakes your first 2 years in the NFL because you didn't play, you don't not believe in yourself or believe in yourself, but you haven't had all of those catastrophes happen where in your head when that ball is snapped, you have negative thoughts.
Okay. I see what you're saying there.
Throwing that out there. I don't know.
There's a benefit to failure, but there is a detriment that comes along with it too.
Back to a somewhat Cowboys question / Falcons question. Bijan Robinson will blank the Cowboys. It can be a word. It can be a sentence. You can take it however you want. Bijan Robinson versus the Cowboys Sunday afternoon.
I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson will not batter the Cowboys as much as one might think. He just doesn't get. I think he's awesome. I thought he was awesome at Texas. I think he's awesome now. But he just doesn't get used, at least still not yet, to that level. I know they cranked it up against Seattle, but for the most part, he usually gets about, 15 carries? Yeah. I don't think he's going to get the ball enough to really make you pay. Now, I do think he's going to make you pay when he gets the ball. Like, I'm looking at least 15 for probably 75 or 80, and so it's going to be 5 yards a carry plus, but not enough to make you be like, that's why we lost the
game. He gets about 20 touches a game.
Okay.
15 carries and 5 receptions, which I would use him more in the receiving game than anything else. It's Algier that they go to. Yep. You know, they're like, when you get into short yardage, they're going to Algier. And Kirk Cousins, I mean, Kirk Cousins doesn't love to throw to the running back for whatever reason. Like last year, Mariota or whoever was back there was like, I'm just dumping it off to Bijan. But I think Kirk Cousins is looking downfield at Drake London. He's looking downfield at Kyle Pitts. He's using those other options.
I know we're out of time.
He still has a good game.
How much did the Philadelphia Eagles blowing out the Bengals change your mind on Philadelphia?
Quite a bit, because Jalen Hurts has really started to take care of the ball. And that's their biggest issue.
Yeah, they're healthy at receiver again. You know, A.J. Brown's back. Devontae Smith's back. They look fantastic. That makes Jalen Hurts look even better. And then Saquon Barkley continues to be a plus play. So, yeah. They're a good team.
All right, those are the football questions.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now let's switch our focus back to baseball and the World Series, because it's time for Baseball Nuggets.
How much can one moment in a series change everything? Next.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, 5 straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashak.
All right, so unfortunately, we have a 3-0 series lead for the Dodgers. Obviously, one time in the history of baseball, 0-4, which there's a Netflix series out on now, which I know my son and Kevin Hagelin recommend tremendously. Now, you have something?
Our friend Flula caught a shirt at the Dodgers game, one of those that they throw up in the stands. Okay. He caught one. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to him at Thanksgiving time for Peace-a-thon.
And when you say unfortunately, you mean because you want a lengthy series for baseball, not because you want the Yankees to win.
I want the Dodgers to win the series, but it's not for me. If the Yankees were to win this series, it doesn't go, oh, I can't stand that they won another one. Or it just, for me, I was hoping that this would be a highly competitive. We see that ESPN is talking about it on their morning shows. We see that this is something the national media, even somewhat non-sports national media, cares about, because it's the Dodgers and the Yankees. And it just stinks that it feels like tonight and maybe tomorrow night, if it extends, feels now non-competitive.
So quick question about that. And maybe we want to tackle this after the fact. Let's say the Dodgers win again tonight. Does this dramatically change people's thoughts about Dave Roberts? Because we've talked numerous times about is he about to get fired? Now he has 2 World Series. I know the one COVID one that people have thoughts about.
And been to 4.
Yeah. And
lost one in 17, which people felt like they got cheated on.
And then they swept the Yankees to win the other one.
Yeah, I think that this would change it tremendously. Isn't that crazy how that does happen? That a lot of people have felt like Dave Roberts has not been a very good manager for one of the best teams, talent-wise, for his time there. He'd gone to 4. This is his 4th World Series. It looks like he's going to win this one. This will be, I know I hate saying this, it's real. Corey Seager really won an MVP. They really won the World Series. But 60 games and then a random, playoff situation where you're just playing
all
it in
neutral
Arlington.
Site, yeah.
It does count. It counts for the Lakers. It counts for the Dodgers. They took advantage of that weird situation and won their championships. But this one would, I'm sure, for Dave Roberts and the organization, just feel a lot different than the COVID World Series that they did win. But to your point, it kind of lock in Dave Roberts for 2 to 3 years where you don't have to worry about anything.
Absolutely.
Now, when it comes to what I'm talking about, can one moment change everything? And this is where, this is all hypothetical talk. This is sports talk radio fun stuff. And I don't know the real answer. But when Freddie Freeman hit the Grand Slam home run off of Nasty Nestor Cortez, now you have a 3-0 lead.
Yeah.
Does everything change if the Yankees hold on to it? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, then it'd be 2-1, Nimrod. I get it. Like, I'm not trying to be that basic.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
But I don't know how these moments in time, especially early in a series, We can go back to last year if you want to. If Corey Seager gets out against Paul Sewald and there isn't extra innings and the Diamondbacks take game one, is game two different? Is the whole series different? I don't know if these one moments where it's a series, you have to win four, but winning game one or the way you win game one or game two, how much does that change the mental outlook of the players and coaches?
I know you just talked about it. I thought about this a lot. After game one of this World Series, last year's game one, because the Rangers got freaking thumped in game two. Now, I know after that they rolled, but like, what if they got thumped and that put them down 0-2? And now you're going back to Arizona and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I did feel though that Rangers team was weird in that every day they looked at that day as the thing. Boats, you talked about that how many times with us. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to win today's game.
Sure.
I'll worry about tomorrow's game tomorrow. And so, like, I do think, Mike, when it comes to that, it is about the mindset of your clubhouse and the how they treat things. And Bochy preaches that all season. So whenever they got to that point, they were already in that mindset. If you're in the mindset of trying to win it all at one time,
yeah,
you're going to be hyperventilating when the moments hit.
You can go to last year, the Stars. Obviously, losing the first two games to Las Vegas didn't bug them.
Yeah.
They overcame all of those mental, yes, you're down 0-2 in a series and you're going on the road against a team that had recently won a Stanley Cup, right? Vegas
did. Yes, correct.
So I look at certain things and go, well, you can play the other side of it. I look at last year. The Mavericks replay is on from last night. If Luka doesn't step back on Rudy Gobert in Minnesota early on in that series and hit that game-winning three-pointer, does that change young Minnesota's outlook with, is Karl Anthony Towns, like, do they push that series to seven? Do they trade Karl Anthony Towns? Like, there's just, I get game sevens, it's over. In football, I don't feel like this is comparable.
I mean, we tried our best.
Because it's a one game.
We tried our best with the Dez caught it fallout,
yeah.
But that game was over and you moved on. Like, you didn't get to go, well, we'll get them next week, like all these
other
games.
I'll take you to young kids. Don't remember this. In 1992, when the Cowboys won by, I think, 10 points in San Francisco, like, the third play of the game was a 70-yard touchdown to Jerry Rice.
You're
and
like,
they
oh,
called
crap.
Holding. And yeah. It was a holding. I think it was on Russell, Maryland. It might have been on Tony Casillas. But, like, if that isn't holding, if they don't call that, and the third play of the game against a team favored by a touchdown at home scores a touchdown to their Jerry Rice to Steve
Young,
how much does that change the feeling of that game? Instead, they punted. So I don't know. That's football. It's tough in football because it's just one game, because you feel like, okay, the game's over. We move to the next game. But it just feels like the Yankees, Corey, they can't hit anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I go back to the Rangers World Series when they lost game six. That was late in the series. They couldn't recover for game seven.
Yeah.
Like, they could not recover.
And that was a crazy, right? And the Freddie
But they
Freeman.
Were trying to win it. They were trying to win the night before's game or the game. Yeah. They were still trying to win game six in their minds.
Yeah.
And that does happen, Mike, where if you get down, you start to press.
Yeah.
You start to do things that are abnormal of what you typically do because now I'm trying to win what we already lost.
And I feel
that's
bad
where
for,
the Yankees are.
I like Aaron Judge. I think Aaron Judge, I don't know him at all, but from what I get, from what I hear, he is a great person. Yes, he's going to be a two-time MVP, and he stinks in the World Series, and he's been bad in the playoffs. This whole playoff run, they made it to the World
Series.
You're
right.
He's 1-for-12 with 7 Ks in this World
but
Series.
But they kept winning. The fact that they're going to lose this is going to really up that spotlight.
He's now going to be known as a choke artist when it comes to playoff time, because his playoff numbers coming into this year weren't very good, and they only got worse.
And it's going to be kind of like Kershaw for a while, where everyone is like, you're a great, maybe generational talent, but what happens to you in the playoffs?
And there's no excuse in this. He has Soto, who is still hitting for the most part, and Stanton, who has had a really nice playoff run. So he has two guys behind him where they're challenging him. They're not pitching around him. They are going at him yesterday. First pitch, right down the middle. Buehler, 96 miles an hour. Foul ball. Like, And then I had Corey. Corey did a great job here. Corey got stats from Sandler and looked up other stats because I was like, does he just take advantage of number 3, 4, and 5 starting pitchers on average to below average teams? Does he just take advantage of middle relievers and guys that aren't closers? Is he a guy that we just don't know that if you have to face the best teams and they're good pitchers, he can't hit? But Corey, you looked into the numbers, and these are good numbers for Aaron Judge.
Yeah, the numbers still show. I mean, his batting average drops by 60 points, but that's
and give the context.
So in against pitchers that are under a 3 ERA, he's at 2.62 with a 9.74 OPS.
That's great.
Sub 3
you're
ERA.
Facing
that's
all-star pitchers. In that situation, you're pretty much facing almost all-star pitchers and he still has an OPS over 9.
And that's on par with the league. Like that's where the league is with that. And with pitchers over
you mean like good players?
Yeah. It's on par with where he should be.
Yeah.
With pitchers over, it's a 3.36 with a 12.
So he takes advantage, but still he has good numbers against good pitchers. He has great numbers against average to below average pitchers. So the numbers would suggest he shouldn't be this bad. Now, I will give the Dodgers pitchers credit here. They've done a good job. At the same time, they're facing a team that is ice freaking cold. It goes to like this year with the Texas Rangers. There are so many times where I was calling games, I'm like, there were 12 pitches down the middle in favorable counts that the Rangers should have hammered. Maybe they hit a line drive right to the center fielder. You're just unlucky you hit it right to them. But the Yankees aren't just facing 150 quality pitches. They are missing hittable pitches in situations, or they're chasing really crappy pitches in situations. Yes, the Dodgers pitchers deserve credit. At the same time, the Yankees, for the most part, have just gone ice cold, and it has to be tough when Aaron Judge, I know there are multiple guys on the Rangers last year, right? It was a lineup of 9 that threatened, but it was Corey Seager who stayed hot throughout a lot of things, and Adolis was hot too, but like, I do wonder when your stud hitter, your MVP, can't get a hit to save his life, how much that affects the other guys. Like, I got to do something because I know Aaron Judge ain't doing anything. Because let's face it, I know this. Nobody would say this out loud and nobody would say this to the media. You know what the Yankees are thinking when Aaron Judge comes up right now? The players, not the fans, the players. Oh, crap. Oh, crap.
Man.
And just like, I hate saying this. I'll change it to this. You know what Dak just did to his team with 3 minutes to go with the game on the line after going down and easily scoring 2 touchdowns? If I'm a safety, if I'm a cornerback, if I'm a defensive end, like it or not, they won't say this out loud and they'll lie to your face, and that's what they're supposed to do. They don't believe Dak's going to take them down the field and win the game. They've seen too many times how he blows it. So they're struggling. They're hoping, but they have a feeling that it's going to go bad, just like when Tom Brady was in his prime and doing his thing.
Yeah.
Those guys, whether he did it or not, they believed he was going to do it because they'd seen him do it.
I look, after the fact, I know there's some players who came out and said that about Romo. Like, they didn't say it while it was happening, but later on, they're like, we knew he got the balls.
We know he stinks, back to my last one. That's why I think even the players are sad. They know that Dak ultimately is not the guy that you want the ball in his hands with the game on the line against a pretty good team or a lot of pressure. And I think right now what stinks for the Yankees is now there's going to be doubt in their mind as a team when Aaron Judge comes up in big situations in the playoffs.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, do the returning defensive reinforcements give you any hope for the Cowboys? Oh, next on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.